राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनबाला भा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनबाला भा गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य अष्टदृष्ट श्री श्रीमद अभय चरण भक्तिवृंद संप्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णववृंद की नाम आचार्य श्रीरास्ताकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अर्विता गदाधर श्रीवास अधिकोर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ राधकुंड श्याम कुंद गिरी गोवर्धाम की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री गणेश गौरांगा ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री प्रभुपाद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 42 Deva Uchuhu Pura Kalpapaye Svakritam Udari Kritya Vikritam Tvam Evadyas Tasmin Salila Uragendra Adhishayane Puman Sheshe Siddhair Hridi Vimrishita Adhyatma Padavihi Sa Evadyakshnor Yaha Pathi Charasi Brityan Avasi Naha Deva Uchuhu Pura Kalpa Payate Svakritam Udari Kritya Vikritam Tvam evadyas tasmin salila uragendrida shayane Puman Sheshe Siddhair Hridi Vimrishadhyatma Padavihi. Saeva Yakshnor Yakpati Charasi Brityan Avasinaha. Deva Uchuhu Pura Kalpa Patye Vakritam Udari Krityat Vikritam. Tvam eva dhyastasmin salila uragendrādhi shayane. Puman sheshe siddhair hridi vimrishitādhyātmā padavihi. Sa eva dyakshnor yakpati charasi brithan avasinaha. Deva uchuhu pura kalpapaye svakritam udari kritya vikritam. Tvam eva dhyastasmin salila uragan dradhi shayane. Puman sheshe siddhair hridi vimrishita dhyatma padavihi. Sa eva dhyakshnor yak pati charasi prityan avasinaha. Devaha, the demigods, Uchuhu, said, Pura, formally, Kalpa apaye, at the devastation of the Kalpa, Svakritam, self-produced, Udari kritya, having drawn within your abdomen, Vikritam, effect, Tvam, you, Eva, certainly, Adayaha, original, Tasmin, in that, Salile, water, Ugara Indra, on Shesha, Adhishayane, on the bed, Puman personality. Sheshe taking rest. Siddhaihi by the liberated souls like Sanaka, etc. Hridi in the heart. Vimrishita meditated on. Adhyatma padavihi, the path of philosophical speculation. Saha, he. Eva, certainly. Adya, now. Akshnaha, on both eyes. Yaha, who. Pathi, on the path. Charasi, you move. Brityan, servants. Avasi, protect. Naha, us. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The demigod said, "Dear Lord, formerly, when there was a devastation, you conserved all the different energies of material manifestations. At that time, all the inhabitants of the higher planets, represented by such liberated souls as Sanaka, were meditating on you by philosophical speculations. You are therefore the original person, and you rest in the water of devastation on the bed of Shesha snake. Now, today, you are visible to us, who are all your servants. Please, give us protection." Purport. The devastation indicated in this verse is the partial devastations of the lower planets within the universe when Lord Brahma goes to sleep. The higher planetary systems, beginning with Maharloka, Janaloka, and Tapaloka, are not inundated at the time of this devastation. The Lord is the creator, as indicated in this verse, because the energies of creation are manifested through his body. And after annihilation, he conserves all the energy within his abdomen. Another significant point in this verse is that the demigod said, we are all your servants, Brityan. Give us your protection. The demigods depend on the protection of Vishnu. They are not independent. Bhagavad Gita, therefore, condemns the worship of demigods because there is no need of it, and certainly states that only those who have lost their sense go asking favors of the demigods. Generally, if anyone has material desires to be fulfilled, he can ask Vishnu instead of going to the demigods. Those who worship demigods are not very intelligent. Besides that, the demigods say, "We are your eternal servants." So those who are servants or devotees of the Lord are not very much concerned with fruitive activities, the performance of the prescribed yagyas, or mental speculation. They simply serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead sincerely, with love and faith, performing everything with that loving service. And the Lord gives so much such devotees direct protection. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Simply surrender unto me, and I will give you protection from all the reactions of sinful activities." This material world is so created that one has to act sinfully, knowingly or unknowingly, and unless his life is dedicated to Vishnu, he has to suffer all the reactions of sinful activities. But one who surrenders and dedicates his life for the service of the Lord, his direct protection from the Lord, has direct protection from the Lord. He has no fear of suffering from sinful activities, nor does he desire, willingly or unwillingly, to do anything which is sinful. Hare Krishna. So we see that after Daksha got humiliated, and then the demigods now are praying to the Lord. So, as Prabhupada points out here, that the demigods, they put themselves as, or they designate themselves as the devotees of the Lord. And it's not for the first time. No, there was when before Krishna's appearance, or the reason why Krishna appeared was the demons were again bothering the demigods, bothering the Bhumi Devi. So at that time, again, the demigods led by Brahma, then they prayed for Lord Vishnu to appear and to rid of the burden of the demons. So this is a very important duty. This is actually what we have to understand, for if we want to really figure out who are we and what is our goal, what actually do we have to do. And so we just have to follow in the footsteps of the demigods, demigods who are not devoted to the Lord. They pray to the Lord because they are in distress. So there are four kinds of people who surrender easily to the Lord, who take up the path of devotional service. One of those are the ones who are in distress. That's why, I mean, Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that one of the best times for preaching the Krishna consciousness was when he was in Allahabad and during Second World War, because, well, they were being attacked by the Japanese, then the bombs were falling, people didn't know if they are going to die or not, and they were in distress. So then, at that time, now it's easy to turn towards God. What am I supposed to do? I have no protection. Nobody can protect me. I may think, well, I've built some bunker, but they put some stronger bomb, and anyway, no, we died. So the only person who may protect us is the Lord. There was one very nice incident actually happened when there was the war between Serbia and Croatia. So it was very heavy, and there was one person, and he met devotees before that, and he got Bhagavad Gita, and he read something, and he remembered, he chanted a few rounds, little this, that, and then the war came, and he heard that, he was actually in Serbia, and he heard that there is a temple in Croatia, so he wanted to go to the temple, but it was a war zone, so you could not cross, and anybody who would just trespass then gets shot without even warning. But he was so determined that he said, no, I'm going. So first of all, when he left, so nobody could go after dark onto the street. Again, can get shot without warning. But then he said during the day cannot go, so he has to risk it. So then he just went out and into the forest. So he was not not seen. Then in the forest, then he was stopped by some soldiers or whatever, somebody was running after him and shooting after him. But anyway, he escaped. Then as he was walking, then he got caught by some patrol. Now the soldiers, they were still Serbian, and they said, "Where are you going? Who are you? You're a spy or what?" They said, No, I'm just going to Croatia because I want to go to the temple because I'm a devotee of the Lord." And then they were, "What is this nonsense?" And then me just put him down, and then they were planning to basically either to arrest him or to kill him, whatever. So then he was praying to Krishna. He was just chanting, and they actually decided to kill him. So then they shoot at him, but somehow it happens that the bullet hit something else, and it went back, and then it just, the soldiers really got, "What is this? And what did you say? Where did you go?" He said, "I'm going to the temple." He said, "Oh, maybe you should not touch him." So then they just, "Okay, you know what? We will take you there. We will take you against the, over the border." So then they put him in the jeep. And there was him as a civilian, and there were two of them in the front seat, and they were going. So there were another four checkposts, or three or four. So then they took him over the first one, and the guy just looked. He saw these two guys. He said, "Okay, you can go." They didn't see him or what? He was in the back. They didn't check anything. And all the checkposts, they went this way. So then they were quite amazed. That, how is that? Is he invisible or not? What's happening? Then he went, and they said, even through the last one, he went through, and they let him go. But somehow it happened that he got caught again, and it was already in Croatia. And anyway, he just he also was praying. "What is this? This is the last last post. I already passed it, then they are after me." And he was praying. They caught him, but he had a book with him. He had some Bhagavad Gita, and then they actually saw it, and they got really amazed, and they let him go. So he went through. He went he went to the temple, and he was staying throughout the whole war in the temple. So praying to the Lord, "Who is our shelter?" We don't have any shelter. We may think that we are poor. Okay, so let's pray to Lakshmi. She will give us some money. Let's pray to Ganesh. He will remove obstacles, and then we can get everything for free. But this is such an illusion. We may think, well, get some items, so like some Rudraksha, or get some this or some that, which helps us to gain some mystic powers, that we will be very powerful, that we can do this. But what it actually does to us, that we feel that we are actually not doing so bad. So even though we may keep ourselves very healthy, we may keep ourselves very, you know, so-called spiritual, but it only may give us some temporary material opulence. It can remove the distress temporarily, and we may feel, okay, now we are secure. There is nothing which can, you know, bother us. We are, you know, on the way back to Godhead, and we don't have to do anything. In fact, we can enjoy everything which we get here. So we don't have to follow any regulative principles. We can do whatever we want and enjoy on top of it. And at the same time, we go back to Godhead. So that's what the materialist would like to believe. That's what they follow, or this is the, what they would like to have. So that's why when all these so-called gurus, they preach that you can do, you can have do any nonsense you want, just, you know, you give me your money, or do something, some ritual, and everything is okay with you. So those are great cheaters. Like we have one of them, like Sai Baba. Now, he can produce some fruits, he can produce some ash, which he says is the vibhuti from some great yagya. But there was one instance when actually, when he was giving some presentation, spiritual presentation, so-called, then there was also one of the greatest magician of India at that time, P.C. Sarkar. And then he could actually follow exactly the process, how he gets the fruits, how he gets the ash. Because he does, maybe he has some mystic powers, I don't know. But apparently something is there. So he could, whenever he produced something mystical, then the P.C. Sarkar actually, he pointed out, where is it from? He said exactly where he got it from, how he got it, and he explained. Then he got really upset. So he had his gundas then to remove him from the presentation. And after that, then anyway, he somehow, no, Pisaka, he got his audience, just he wanted to, no, to go and see him. So he saw him, and he told him that, well, Sai Baba asked, no, where, how did you know? What is this nonsense? No, he said, well, you don't remember, but we are going to the same magic school. So he is also a magician, but that's all. He doesn't have any spiritual powers. He doesn't, no, he cannot do anything. So taking shelter of him, it's as useless as taking shelter of anybody else. And, but it may look nice. It may look very mystical, but there is no gain. And besides that, if one does not accept bona fide guru, then first he will not be able to understand the what the Shastra and what the sadhus say. He won't be able to understand the Krishna's message. He won't be able to understand who actually he is and what his duties are. He will not be able to get understanding of what he should do. Because only through Guru we may understand how to go back to Godhead, how we can transcend this material world. There's no other way. The Vedic literature, it's so vast, and as we read it, it may be, it will look to us as contradictory. In some part, then we hear Shiva is the supreme. In some, we hear Vishnu is the supreme. Some, no, Durga. Then who is the supreme? Then we see contradictions and we don't know. So then, based on sentiment, whoever is the easiest to please, who gives most material benefits, okay, we say he is the supreme, must be. So we don't know. We are completely in ignorance. By the grace of Guru, then we may understand. Guru tells us, Vishnu is the supreme. And then how do we get to him? By accepting that we are his servant and performing devotional service. So then, everything else we see through the eyes of Guru. When we understand this point, then we are capable of transcending the material world. And even though we may think that we are on the good path, now that we understand, okay, we are devotees, we don't need Guru. We are devotees, we can just chant Hare Krishna, we can, and Krishna will take care. Then we are again in trouble because of our own mind, of our own intelligence. Even though if we transcend this material world, then going out, there are coverings of the universe. These coverings are much more opulent than what we know as heavens. So even if we, while going back to Godhead, then we don't pay any attention to the heavens. Because if we do, then we get stuck there. Oh, what is this? What is that? Oh, who is that? That's in the golden helmet, or that's Indra? Oh, how is he doing? And you are there. So even though if you transcend this, then you go through the coverings. And then each one is much more opulent than the previous one. So if the mind is not focused on Krishna at the time of death, at the time of when you are supposed to go back to Godhead, then you are unlikely to go back to Godhead. Then there are seven coverings. Then the seventh covering, it's actually governed by Mohini Murti herself. And she is so attractive. And it's very unlikely that we will not get curious, know what's going on there. So on our own, not much chance. But if we have Guru, then Guru can actually literally take us by hand and then drag us through the whole material creation. So even though if we have some stupid ideas that we would like to still see this and see that and get attracted, then he will not let us go. Then that by his grace, then we can actually transcend this material world, and then we can be out of here. On our own, it's very, very less chance that we could do that. So So we should take this very, very seriously. We have to understand who we are. Now, how do we understand that? In Prabhupada's books, everything is written that we are not this body. Great, then who are we? We are a spirit soul. And how do we come to understand that? Unless we purify our heart from the anarthas, we may see it, we may just say, yes, it's true, okay, but so what? Okay. As a knowledge, it's not very useful unless we realize it. And then how do we realize it? By practicing devotional service. So then, by devotional service, then we get to the point of anartha nivritti. Then purifying the heart, then we start to see what is necessary to do, who we are. And we get the taste. We get the taste for devotional service. Out of which, then chanting of the holy names in this age is the best. So, only by chanting the holy name, then we may purify our heart. So we may not have in the beginning so much taste for chanting. But this is the process. This is the process as our guru, our acharyas prescribe. So we have to have little faith. With a little faith, we can purify our heart. We can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. But if we try to manufacture some other process, like worshipping demigods, or just being independent, not following the instructions of guru, thinking that, well, this guru is not so good, so I should give him up, not for somebody else who says that he can take me farther because this one is just giving only basics. These are all ways which take us away from Krishna, not towards Krishna. So we should be very careful. How do we progress in our spiritual life? As Prabhupada said, that the path towards Krishna is like a razor's edge, which is quite narrow. And so even one step aside does not guarantee that we will not fall. And for that, to actually be able to understand what we are supposed to do and how, then there must be somebody who is going to guide us. So that's Guru. Guru takes care of our spiritual guidance. He will take us as long as we surrender to Guru. And to be able to surrender to Guru, then we must be brought up, we must be able to understand what surrender means. So that's why proper family, samskaras, it's very important, because from the very beginning the child gets the understanding what does it mean to surrender, what does it mean shelter. Takes shelter of the mother, takes shelter of the father, of the teacher, and then eventually of guru. But if the child is not made to understand what it means, then he will be hesitating. He will be afraid maybe. So education is a very important part in how do we develop the faith in the child to be able to take care, to take shelter of spiritual master, and eventually being eager to take shelter of Krishna. If that's not there, then naturally the propensity of of independence will be there because, well, I don't think that I should take because I tried and it didn't work. So I'm better on my own. I don't need anybody. I can do everything myself. I can take care. I don't need guru. I don't need anything. And I can do everything on my own. That's an unfortunate situation for such people. So that's why now how to develop, that's when the Varnashram system comes in place. Because the Varnashram engages everybody according to their own mentality and they perform duties according to their capability and they are satisfied. Why? Because they are under proper leadership. So then the leader, he provides shelter for the living entities. So anybody who is under his protection, then he feels sheltered. In that case, then he can do his duties properly. The kings, right? They take everything very seriously because by taking care of the living beings under his care, then he gets also the pious karma, but he actually gets the satisfaction that he performs his dharma properly. If he doesn't, then he suffers. But here, important point is that he must provide the shelter because by doing so, then they have trust in that king. If a leader doesn't provide a trust, if a leader just acts just like a manager, then he will not be able to create that feeling or that shelter in that living entity, and the trust will not be there. Because actually, if simple difference will be that the leader is someone who works for people. And the manager is somebody who works with people. So, leader is somebody who constantly knows who is under his protection. He goes and he inquires. He sees that everything is well. He has a relationship with these people. And then when he wants to perform some activity, he asks these people, and the people, based on their gratitude towards him because of the shelter, they will do that without saying a word. They will be very happy that they can somehow give return to the leader. Manager, he just has to either pay or he has to threaten or he has to do something to get the people to do it. Otherwise, there is no real relationship, and once it's over, then again, nobody knows anybody. So, leader is somebody who can work for the people. He provides the shelter, and the people can perform their duties. You can even see it in the outside world. Like you have, I think the first who started it was Bata. I don't know, you probably know the Bata shoes company, yeah? And if you heard something like in India, there are places called like a Bata Nagar. And what does that mean? See that he wants to build a factory. So then he builds a factory. But with the factory, he also builds schools, he builds hospitals, he builds apartments, shopping centers, whole city. And that's all his. So now what happens? Now the people come to work for him, right? So then as soon as they work and they prove themselves somewhat loyal or whatever, they get an apartment. So they can stay with their family in the place. It's nearby. So then they cannot say, I came late because there was a traffic jam on the road. So he gains. When they get sick, he has his own hospital, he has his own doctors. So they cannot really fake that they are sick. But when they get sick, they get treated for free. Now, what to do with children? Children are growing, they need to go to the school. No problem, school is just next to your house. You send them there. So everything for free. You get education. And if you want to go and buy something, not just downstairs, there is a shop you can buy. So the profit goes to him. Then he sees everything. Everything is under his control. And when the children are being taught, then they are basically being also educated the way how he wants them to be, maybe the new laborers, whatever. But the thing is that he gains the control, but do the people feel bad? How do the people feel? Having work, having place to live, if something happens, I'm taken care of, I can, my children are being taken care of. Do they feel bad? Not at all. They are grateful. And why they are grateful? They are grateful because they get the basic shelter, the material shelter. This is what most of the, if you provide that to most of the living entities, then they will be happy. That's what they need. There are few who need more than that, but most of them will be happy with this. That they are taken care of. So, and because of that, nobody wants to leave. Why would they leave? Like, you have that story which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada wrote in the Upakhyani Upadesh. Balam, rice and ghee. There is a landlord, and then he has a problem with servants. No servants last longer than 1 week with him. And he is really depressed. So he tells his friend, look, I don't know what to do. Anytime new servant comes to me, he doesn't last for more than a week. I know I'm heavy, but it should be like that. The servants should be properly served. So then I don't give them any space for spacing out. And then, but they don't like it. So they don't stay. They go and look for someplace, somebody else. And he said, oh, is that it? That's only your problem. But what do you mean? It's going on and I don't know how to solve it. It's very easy. Really? What should I do? Just feed the servants balam rice with ghee. Balam rice is a very special rice, very scented, very tasty, and it's like the best quality of rice. Apparently, I don't know. I never got it. But that's what I heard. So, anyway, he tried. So he treated the servant as usually, very heavy on him. But he was feeding him the best ghee and the balam rice. So then he was eating that, he was served. After 1 week, he left. Oh, again, didn't work. So he came to his friend and didn't work. I don't know what to do. He said, just wait. Wait for a week or two, you see. Then, after 2 weeks, somebody knocks on the door. And then he opens the door. Who was that? That's the old servant. And he said, what are you doing here? Well, I was coming actually to ask if you wouldn't have some service for me. What? But you know I'm very heavy. I won't let you to do some nonsense. Well, yes, it's true. And I thought that I can find some better place. So last 2 weeks I'm looking for different places what I can find. And yes, I find, I can get much easier job somewhere else. But nobody feeds me balam rice and ghee. So I can continue serving, but no, please, no, just give me the rice and ghee. So that's his addiction. But based on that, then he felt that there is some shelter, that he has some protection, that something attracted to. So the same way, leader must be able to create that attraction, that those who are under him must feel that they are doing something useful, that they are feeling that they are needed. And they can, even though they may do something wrong, that they are not going to be kicked out, there is always some way how to deal with situation. And based on that, then these people treated like that, they can become very, very loyal. They can they can dedicate themselves to the mission of that leader. But if there is no leadership, there is really no clear mission, no clear goal, and people, they mostly live in fear. How long can I stay? What's next? Nobody needs me. And what am I supposed to do? And they have to take care of themselves. And because of that, then they are fully unable to actually dedicate themselves to whatever they should. So, in the Varnashrama system, the leadership is such that the Kshatriyas, those are the ones who provide the shelter. Those are the ones who see that everything runs smoothly. They execute whatever it needs to be done. And they know the Shastra. But they don't act on their own. They have people, Brahmanas, whom they inquire for how things should be done and what should be done. Now, the Brahmanas, they, in fact, based on relationship, based on trust, they influence less or more the Kshatriya based on that. But it's the duty of the Kshatriya to choose what he is supposed to do, because he takes the reaction or the benefit, depends what's going to be. So, simultaneously, working together, the Brahmanas is independent of the Kshatriyas, but they don't have power to do anything. They don't even want to. The Kshatriyas, they have the power to influence and overpower anybody, but they don't act independently because they understand that their dharma is to consult and follow the Brahmanas, who act not based on politics, but they act based on knowledge and realization. So together, this is the proper leadership. together, then people under the under this kind of leadership, then they feel secure. They feel that they feel sheltered. And if this is the shelter what they are under, then they don't have any difficulty accepting authorities. And if they don't have no difficulties accepting authorities not that time, then they will have no difficulty accepting that Krishna is the supreme person. He is the supreme authority. So if it goes so well here, then it must go much better when Krishna takes care of me. So then the devotee has no difficulty to surrendering to Krishna. And that's the ultimate goal. That's what we want to achieve. So to be able to do that, we have to start working on it here, right now. We have to understand what is our capacity, what is our capability, what we can do, how we can engage ourselves in the mission, what and how we can help to establish the goal which Prabhupada is talking about, and how we can achieve the goal. So each of us have certain mentality, capability. So based on our capability, then we can do something for it. So that's something which we should all think about. Because by that we help ourselves, but we also help others in the path of devotional service. And once a person who helps a devotee, who helps a devotee to progress in the path of devotional service, those are very dear to Krishna. Anyway, any question? Yes.
I don't know if I understand what you tell. We must be ready for. We must be ready in the last moment
when we are going to give up the body.
Okay.
Entonces, you tell que only if you remember Krishna, you can come back to Krishna. But I think, I ask so many times this, no? Sometimes you come to be inconscient, like Nirguna Prabhu, or I ask so many times this, no? And they tell me, if you cannot remember Krishna, if you serve Krishna all your life, Krishna can remember you. They tell me this, eh? I don't know if it's okay.
Okay.
But yeah, another question is, sometimes I mean to Paul, no make service is not because I don't like tourists, can I come to the temple for six days and nothing for no. You think that for me,
yes.
And after this, I become invisible, no? Okay. So many times I don't come into the temple because I am still thinking, how I can come into the temple if I cannot give nothing to Krishna? I think.
Yes?
Is he not with this?
You see, okay. Now, so to the first question. It's important, I mean, we are really not on the very high platform, so we cannot really say that we can always remember Krishna. So then, if that's the case, then it's good to make friendship with somebody who can always remember Krishna. This is the importance of Guru. Because when we are leaving this body, and then we have a relationship with Guru, he sees that we tried our best, we did our best whatever we could, then Krishna comes in the form of Guru and he takes us to Krishna. That's the power of the friendship. That's the power of the relationship. So, and that's very important. So without taking shelter of bona fide Guru, then there will not be much of chance that we could actually get out of here. So it's not our own endeavor. We just try. We do our best. So then we remember Krishna as much as we can. And if we can do always, that's the best. But when we are going to leave this body, then we should remember that the person who is dearest to us, like Ajamil, he remembered Narayan as his son. So if we develop a relationship that Guru is the dearest whom we have, then we will remember Guru. And he will take us. But on our own, by some Krishna's extraordinary mercy, yes, somebody may get that, but the name, the already how the definition of extraordinary, it's that, how much chance do we have that we will get that. So we should go through the process as Srila Prabhupada describes it. Then we can hope for the best. It's okay, the first one?
Yeah, I pray all the time to Krishna to be conscious when I left my body because it's very difficult. I am not to give the body, entonces, how I can see que Krishna can remember. Bueno, Krishna can remember me always, no? This is true, no? Pero me, I must remember him. Entonces, I can to the Krishna also. Better to not take this painkiller was very strong, but after this he stayed exposed, no? And I tell to my friends, if I left my body, I don't want any painkiller, I don't want nothing, no? Because if you take a big painkiller, entonces you
become unconscious, you cannot remember nothing, no? It's better no take no medicine, nothing, no?
But again, see, there is the faith. If we, even if it happens something to us and then even we become unconscious, we come into a coma. But if we have a relationship with our Guru, we have a relationship with Krishna, we don't have to fear. There's no need really to fear.
This is true. One time I stayed for left my body in America, and before the operation, the last photo in my mind I see was my Guru Maharaj praying to the deities, and I tell to him after, and he tell me, oh, me always, I pray to Krishna for you. I still very happy now. No, me, this is true, I love so much my Guru Maharaj. Aladdin, I tell you.
Yeah. And the second one, then chanting is always the best. So coming to the temple, why do we come to the temple? Yes, okay, see Krishna, No, see some festival or something is happening, that's good. But why the festivals are happening? What is the festival? See, the festival is basically just an excuse to celebrate, to worship Krishna. Festival, you can worship him more. Every day you worship him, and then on festival day you worship him more. So we find a reason what, how we can actually please the Lord more. So even though if you not participate in anything, but you come to the temple and any day, and if you just chant the holy name, or you may even participate not just in the kirtan or anything, so by that you please the Lord. So there is no need to feel that I have nothing to offer. No, one should really, no, be assured that just chanting or even remembering the Lord. So coming, seeing the Vigraha. So then we remember the Lord, we remember pastimes. Like during Chananatra, then no, we do many pastimes. So then just seeing that, then we remember Krishna in that pastime. That's devotional service. So the pujaris, they do the devotional service by creating that pastime. Then the other devotees, they perform devotional service by coming and taking darshan of the pastime. We have aroti. Aroti, one pujari does the aroti, that's his service. But there are hundreds of devotees watching the aroti, this is their service. And everybody gets the same benefit. So therefore, no, it's by the Shastra prescribed who is qualified to do the aroti. But anybody is qualified to come and take darshan of the aroti. And everybody gets the same benefit. So those who may not be to the level that they can perform the aroti, they should not be, you know, pushing that they want to also do it. There is no need for it. Because Krishna is pleased by that somebody who is qualified performs and that other person comes and watches. Abhishek, the same. A pujari who is qualified, they performs the abhishek and now Krishna is pleased. Everybody else watches and Krishna is pleased. But if you put somebody who doesn't know how to do the abhishek, then how do we claim that we are going to please Krishna? When somebody bangs Krishna on the head or somebody just pulls something else, how do we claim that we know please Krishna? That way that no, the qualified pujari performs the abhishek as it's supposed to be, Krishna is pleased. Everybody sees Krishna pleased, everybody gets pleased. So one should not be trying to, I also want to pour, I also want to do, and not being qualified, not knowing how to do. Then Krishna will not get pleased and everybody else will feel a little funny. So we should understand that. What's devotional service? It's not that we have to directly do something for Krishna, otherwise it's all useless. But that's our understanding, that's our conditioning. We really feel that that's what it is, because of our conditioning. Sorry? Of course. Yes. You get the same benefit. Yes. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande.